Okay, let's call this meeting of the House Finance Committee that was scheduled for 1:30 to order. Let the record reflect that it is 7:30 p.m. on Friday, April 15th, 2016. Present in the room with me is Representative Wilson. I'm Co-Chair Thompson. Here is Co-Chair Newman. And the rest of the committee, most of them are on the House floor at the present time, and they'll be joining us shortly. We might have to do a brief at-ease to run down and vote on the House floor and come back up. I apologize that we were supposed to start at 7 p.m. It's now 7:30, but we had a computer meltdown and crashed, so we are back now with a computer that will work. Before we start, please make sure your cell phones are turned off, no electronic devices allowed in committee. On today's schedule, we will hear public testimony on House Bill 249, electronic tax returns, motor fuel tax, and we'll reopen House Bill 245, permanent fund deposits, dividends, and earnings, House Bill 250, individual income tax credits and returns. There was a glitch last night, so not everybody in the Anchorage LIO got a chance to testify. Seeing how we are so late and we don't have, well, we got quite a few people, but we're going to have 5 minutes allowed tonight because we got a lot of industry people that would like to speak also. With that, pardon?
5 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I was told. With that, I will now open public testimony. All right. I'm going to start with the Anchorage LIO, Matthew Allward, are you there? Matthew, are you there in the Homer LIO?
Yeah, I'm here, actually in Homer LIO.
Okay, get a little closer to the microphone. Please identify yourself for the record.
Yeah, I'm Matt Allward from Homer. I'm a commercial fisherman representing myself.
Go right ahead.
I oppose House Bill 249 as written. Before we tax the industries that employ more residents than any other private businesses, I believe we need to have a comprehensive, broad-based solution. Taxing fisheries and mining without dealing with oil tax credits, a permanent fund solution, and a broad-based tax will make very little difference in the budget gap while potentially harming our industries. We still have not seen any economic analysis of the impacts on the fishing industry of raising the fisheries business tax combined with a motor fuel tax. I think that we should understand how this bill will affect the vitality of our industry before moving forward. When the tax on fishing industry was proposed, it was stated that we were, quote, not paying our way, unquote, and the 1% raise was going to balance that. Since then, we have cut the fish and game budget. Fish and Game has said they are going to adjust the ex-vessel value of several species out west that will bring in over $2 million more, and now you are proposing to remove the CFEC fee cap, supposedly bringing in an additional $2 million. It seems to me that we are now talking about funding government over management costs, which I do not believe was the intent of taxes on our renewable, sustainable industry that keeps Alaskans and small family businesses going. If the purpose is to fund management, I see no language of intent for the funds to go into the fish and game budget. If you're going to pass this bill on, there are several changes that I believe are necessary. First of all, the salmon industry is at a decade low right now with very tight margins, especially in the canned markets. Raising the canned salmon tax at this time could have a very detrimental effects on the industry without economic analysis of that, we should not be increasing it. This bill also raises that tax 0.5% while putting 1% into the general fund, thus removing 0.25% of the community share. The tax on floating processors is already high at 5%, and I believe that raising that will discourage processors from using floaters. The results of that will be less processing capacity, which means less harvest, which means less ex-vessel value to tax. And finally, the developing fisheries tax was set low to encourage new fisheries, which benefit Alaskan residents and coastal communities. Raising that tax from 1% to 4% will discourage any new development, resulting in less potential future taxable income. In closing, I encourage you to consider the effects of this bill on hardworking Alaskans before moving on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allward. Next, we're going to go to the Kodiak LIO, Patty O'Donnell. Patty, are you there? Place yourself on the record, and we'll hear your testimony.
Yeah, this is Patrick O'Donnell. I own and operate the 85-foot trawler caravel out of Kodiak here, and I'm speaking on behalf of Alaska Whitefish Trawlers Association, whose members include 20-plus independent trawlers who fish out of Kodiak here. Primarily, some of our members fish out of Sand Point, and also some members fish between here and the Bering Sea. And Alaska Whitefish Trawlers and our members, we are opposed to removing the minimum and maximum restrictions on the entry permit card. Most, if not all, of our members have, for the best part, 2 to 3 hired skippers working on their vessels. So this is going to put an added burden on the skippers who purchase, for the best part, they purchase their own permit cards in order to fish in a vessel. And it'll also make it harder for vessel owners to acquire new skippers stepping up to the wheelhouse with this increase in cost. The states, I think, for the best part, should look at increasing the cost of registering a vessel. I have my vessel. It costs $250 to register that vessel, and I've never understood why I pay $250 for a vessel registration and $3,000 for a permit card. So I think you got the cart before the horse a little bit here. I'm not opposed entirely to tax hikes, but I think you guys down there need to involve the public when you make decisions like this, and for us the fishermen here, and get to the root of it, because I, for one, have no problem paying a higher registration vessel fee and lowering the permit card cost to the individual skippers. And this, in effect, is going to have effects as far as new entrants and young guys stepping up to the wheelhouse and getting into the fishery. This is going to be a deterrent for young guys to put out that much money on the front end. I mean, for some of the vessels, you're talking, you know, huge increases and huge costs to these permit cards. I do have the breakdown and sizes of vessels and everything else, and the potential increases. So the other thing I think you should look at over there is that one permit card per vessel, so that we have the flexibility to, like my vessel, for example, my brother runs the vessel, and when he gets off, I got to step on, and I got to have my own permit card. So that's two permit cards at $3,000 each, whereas I think it would be better all the way around as far as flexibility for the fleet to work if you had one permit card attached to the vessel rather than a designated person's name on the card. I don't see why this can't be accomplished. They do this in other parts of the country. So that's my argument with all of this. Like I say, 20 plus independent trawlers who I represent as a member of Alaska Whitefish Trawlers, and we are opposed to this increase as you guys are putting it forward at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Donnell. We're staying in the Kodiak LIO. Next we have Scott Hockma. Scott Hockma, place yourself on the record, please.
This is Scott Hockma. I'm the partner and operator of the Pacific Storm here, 100-foot trawler in Kodiak. I'm not really prepared for this. I just got in from fishing and heard about the meeting and came up here. I got just kind of confirming what Patty just got done saying. My son is going to take the boat for a couple trips now, and he had to go buy his permit card today. And I don't know if you've heard how fishing has been here in Kodiak this year, but it's just been horrible. We probably grossed half of what we did last year at this time, and last year wasn't even a very good year. So my son has had to make, they're probably making $1,000 a trip or so. He would have to make 3 trips to break even to buy a permit card. And then I have one too, and it's just, we just thought the $3,000 is just extremely high. We sat around here for 3 months in the wintertime, then we had to go buy these permit cards, and I just don't see why we can't have one for the boat, and then we could have chances to. I got 2 sons on the boat, and I would like them both to start running the boat, but they can't afford to go do that, and especially these hikes. I was looking at the paperwork here, and our permit would go up $3,300 more or something like that, $3,500 more than it is now. It would be $60-some hundred for each person to do it, and a new guy cannot afford to get on there and go out and fish, and chances are a new guy's not going to make much money because he's learning, and this is not going to work. I mean, the $3,000 is just too high already, and I see how it's classified. You know, we have kind of a different situation here in Kodiak where I see the length kind of determines, I guess. I'm not really sure I understand it completely, but like my boat's 100 feet, and it holds 260,000 pounds of fish. Well, there's 58-foot boats here that are really wide, or 60-foot boats that hold more than mine does. They hold 300,000 pounds, and I don't understand the way it's set up anyways. But anyways, I just want to say that we just thought the 3,000 was just entirely too high, and I just don't know how new guys can get into it anymore.
Mr. Hockham, I appreciate your calling in. We have also, we're still in Kodiak, LIO. We have Joe Masinko.
There's no time to prepare. Hi, Joe Masinko from Kodiak, commercial fisherman. I don't mind paying tax, but it'd be nice if there was some equity in the fisheries tax. Gunnar Knapp gave a presentation here at Comfish where he was talking about the fisheries don't even pay the cost of management. And while that may be true for some fisheries, there are others like halibut, one of my main fisheries, that basically is a cash cow for the state. You don't have a single halibut, commercial halibut biologist. We pay the same tax as everybody else pays, plus a 3% tax to National Marine Fisheries in Juneau to take care of all the paperwork. And we pay, indirectly, they have the International Pacific Halibut Commission, which manages our fishery. They do a survey fishery, which amounts to about a 3% tax on our fishery. What they catch this last year netted them about $3 million. And the amount of fish they catch comes off the following year's quota. So I guess it just shows the discrepancy, because if fisheries as a whole aren't paying for their management, and we're paying for, you know, way more than that. There are some that it would be nice if you try to develop some equity in your tax. And that was just all I had.
Okay, Mr. Masinko, I thank you very much for your presentation, your testimony. We've been joined by Representative Kawasaki. Other members are down on the House floor, which is still a debate going on. Next, we're going to go to the Anchorage LIO. William Hawley. Mr. Hawley, please place yourself on the record, and we'll hear your testimony. Mr. Hawley, are you there?
Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Hawley, place yourself on the record, and we'll hear your testimony.
Okay, I'll repeat that. My name is William Ted Hawley. I'm representing myself and a company that I'm the president of called Mines Trust Company. I'm speaking in opposition of House Bill 249. I have three main points that I would like to make. The tax increases that are proposed are on current taxpayers before spending reductions, use of the permanent fund, and other broad-based taxes are hashed out do not make any sense. It just does not make sense to increase taxes for one or more group of existing taxpayers without figuring out the overall solution to the budget problem. The second thing is the idea of raising the mining tax and then doing analysis to evaluate the effect of the tax increase sends a very scary message to potential investors in the mining industry. Alaska needs to understand what their budget situation is.